T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's time to talk about things like high upside and low ceilings.
I would not take the quarterback there. Probably get one of those receivers. Now you got weapons around the quarterback, or you get the left tackle to bookend.
This is a Draft Week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Celebrating 35 years of fitness with a party on Tuesday, April 30th from 4 to 7 p.m. at Aloha, Beaverton, Division Center, and Vancouver Plaza.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080. The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two, Dirt and Sprague here on the Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2 and YouTube. Good morning. Status story at 8:15. We got this Oregon player not making his former team's fan base very happy. 24/7's updated top 25 of 2024 has Oregon at 4.
Number 4. I'll take it.
Behind Ohio State, Georgia, Texas.
That's fair. Texas in the playoff last year. Ohio State's loaded. Georgia's Georgia. That's a fair ranking.
Never a good thing when the former player of a team says this about their new team and kind of goes against the former team. And so that fan base is all hot and bothered. We'll get to that today. We also have a scout telling a reporter their views on Caleb Williams and comping Caleb Williams to a very famous musician, but not in a complimentary way.
No.
So we'll get to that audio. The NBA's been a little up and down in the playoffs. There haven't been a ton of really close games. You know, the TNT doubleheader we talked about yesterday, was that the best doubleheader in TNT history? It was remarkable back-to-back games. Yesterday, you know, not so much. There hasn't been a lot of close games. I'm trying to think, have we had an overtime game yet in the NBA? I don't think we have.
Don't believe so.
So,
you Lakers know, and Nuggets was the closest, because yes, that was a tie game, I believe, when Murray hit the game winner.
So it hasn't been amazing, but last night the Mavs tied the series against the Clips. Kawhi made his return back, and we'll get some NBA audio coming up, but he had a remarkable game, Luka did. Kyrie was good, and all the others contributed. They didn't play scared anymore, and the Clippers looked very unsure about themselves with Kawhi back in the rotation.
I'm not afraid anymore!
I asked you this question because, to us, I think it feels... We're not picking anybody in the West to beat Denver. Maybe Minnesota, they're very likable. I'm actually finding myself loving what Minnesota is. I know Gobert rubs people the wrong way, but I think even Rudy Gobert's gotten out of the way and just done what he's supposed to do. Cat's taken, you know, his second fiddle role very well. Jaden McDaniels is emerging onto the scene, and Ant Edwards didn't even play a great game, but I thought he played a good game. They're very likable. They're the complete polar opposite of what Phoenix is, who bitches and whines after every play.
The whole game.
Every moment. Their coach is doing it. They're a rudderless, leaderless ship right now. And we'll see if they can make this a series again, because they're now down 2-0. They have to beat Minnesota 4 of the next 5 games. I don't know if I think that's going to happen.
Not happening.
But that being said, if we think Denver's just going to get right back to the finals, and Jokic is, you know, probably a top 5 center already somehow, some way, and making even somebody like LeBron, and I'm sure in 20 years, Michael on his old age will have to make another Last Dance doc because he's scared that Jokic is now considered the GOAT. So how does he counter-program that? Well, let me tell you what I did back in my day.
It'd be a documentary about how good his horse racing is and how he's winning titles in NASCAR now, and Jokic can't do that.
As he's winning in horse. I'm winning in NASCAR.
That's right. Real horsepower.
Right. Yeah, I've got 300 horses. But Jokic and the Nuggets feel inevitable. I'm giving you four options here. Which player of these four options do you think is most likely, if at all, to disrupt what Denver has in Jokic for what seems like the foreseeable future?
Mm-hmm.
Because, as Ozzie Guillen once said, you don't want to get injured? Be fat. Muscle tears. Fat doesn't.
They can't pull fat.
And it was a funny thing that he said a couple weeks back about baseball players needing to be fat because these guys are too healthy and they're getting hurt all the time.
Yeah, basically said the White Sox players are in too good a shape right now.
And Jokic has a little bit of that doughy vibe. He's in great shape, but he's not necessarily svelte.
No, he's not at all.
So maybe he's got this run for the next 12 years because he's just doughy. Let me ask you, of these four players, which one would you pick to lead your team to try to overtake or think you can overtake eventually?
Yeah.
Ann Edwards, Luka Doncic, SGA, or Victor Wembanyama, who's not even in the playoffs this year?
I would go, it's kind of an easy answer for me, to be honest. Maybe it shouldn't be. Right now, it's Ann Edwards, and that would be my easy pick.
You've stunned me.
So
I thought he might be dead last of the picks that you would make.
See, no, for a couple of reasons. Wemby has the brightest future in terms of the player that he can become, right? Like, if you're just picking of those four players, who would you want to, like, take and build a team around right now? Wemby, based off his rookie year, is probably the answer there. But we know in the NBA, and the same is true with Jokic, until you get a team around you, there's only so much that you can do. Is San Antonio going to go find another star for Wemby? Maybe. Maybe they get him in free agency. Maybe they pull off a trade. Maybe it's Trae Young. Maybe they land somebody in the draft because they were terrible this year. There's a chance that they do it, but they got to go find that guy. And until they do, Wemby's not winning anything of note in the NBA. He's just not. He'll be a great player. He'll be an elite player, but you got to have a team around you in order to do it, and he's the furthest away from that. SGA is a remarkable player, but if I were picking between him or Ann Edwards, I would take Ann Edwards over SGA, and I also think, despite where the win-loss records ended up in seeding in the playoffs, I think Ann Edwards has the better team around him right now and the more complete team around him than SGA. And Luka Doncic is a tremendous scorer. We all know his ability, and maybe Dallas surprises me this year. But I also look at them as the same team problem of, I don't know if you got enough pieces in order to hang with Denver anytime soon. And adding to that roster is not going to be easy. Like, what assets do you have to play with to go get another stud? I think Minnesota's got a chance to do it this year. I genuinely do. I know Denver's going to be the overwhelming favorite in that series.
I was pretty impressed with them yesterday because they had bad. I thought he did a lot of other things for them, but he was not very good from the field. He couldn't find a shot.
3-12, dude. He couldn't make a shot until the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And they won by going away.
Yeah. Well, it helps when you get, 25 from Jaden McDaniels? Yeah.
McDaniels went off. I think what is most impressive to me about Minnesota is their ability to play defense, their ability to lock in on that end. We know about Gobert and how he is. You mentioned Kat. I love that he's accepted that role because 5 years ago, Kat was the face of Minnesota. Now he's like second, third fiddle on Minnesota, which is the role that he should be in and should have been in his entire career. Their ability to lock in on the defensive end is something that I don't see from Dallas or Oklahoma City in the playoffs.
Yeah, but I think the tough part is Minnesota certainly looks like they might be able to push Denver. Now, beat Denver, I'm not going there. I'm not going to pick against what that is. That's championship pedigree.
I put a bet on it because I like the odds, and I think there's a flyer, but not a likely chance.
I guess I'm a little surprised because, they're off to a great start in the playoffs, but it's the first round. I was just a little surprised that you would pick him. Like, Luka, I almost put up a poll question last night. Of the two players, who would you pick, Ann Edwards and Luka? And last night would have been kind of an easy answer because Luka had a better game, statistically speaking, than Ann Edwards did.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like most people, when pressed, would take Luka and not maybe even think twice about it. But SGA sitting there as the one seed, and I know they didn't get off to maybe the greatest of starts in game one, but we'll see if they can go up 2-0. Wemby would have I thought you would have gone with Wemby.
I understand the argument for Wemby.
He had Jokic had like 42 that night, but Wemby had like one of those crazy unicorn insane games against Denver just a few weeks ago.
He did. He's an unbelievable player. Who's going to be his running mate? And how long does it take to find that?
Well, but that's part of the gamble, right? Like, what if San Antonio, if they don't mess this thing up, does find the running mate?
Then it's terrifying. But you got to find that, and that's a lot easier said than done. Like, look at Jokic. Has been a tremendous player in the NBA for a long time.
Yeah.
They couldn't beat Portland in the second round of the playoffs. CJ McCollum torched him in game seven.
Yeah.
Because he didn't. Who was his number two? Jamal Murray wasn't quite that yet. They hadn't gotten Aaron Gordon yet.
That was one of their first real years as a team, I think, going to the postseason and learning that experience with the four overtime Rodney Hood game.
It's a process to get there, and Wemby he's going to have to go through that. Very few players.
Does he, though? He's really different, man.
They won 20 games this year, dude. They're a long way. He was unbelievable as a rookie, and they won like 20 games.
I understand.
Greg Popovich is 97 years old. He's going to combust into dust at some point. And who is their next head coach going to be? And are they going to get that right?
Whoever Wemby wants, probably.
If Wemby is
probably
one of those...
some French guy.
Sure, some guy coming over drinking coffee. If he demands his trade and like goes to a different team where he's like teaming up with people, then Wemby's the easy answer. He's going to be dominant. He's the best player, arguably, of that crew. He needs to have a number two guy, and they don't have that.
Tyson Alger of the I-5 Corridor, I thought, had a great tweet the other night. Portland should, and this was after that Murray hit the game winner, he tweeted, Portland should hang a banner that they beat Denver in a postseason.
We did it, people.
And, like, I know that's a joke, but if that team becomes, like, a three-peat, a dynasty, wins multiple, I don't know if it's awful. I don't know if that's an awful take.
It's not an awful take because we did that when Dallas won an NBA championship years ago, and we patted ourselves on the back for like 9 months because we played them the hardest in the first
round.
Because
Sean Marion once said,
"You know, Portland's a tough matchup there. First round, man. Brandon Roy went off."
As if LeBron and the Heat were just so easy to get through for a championship.
I love Anthony Edwards, dude.
I do too.
I love watching him play. I love his style. I love how aggressive he is.
Is there anybody in that list you don't like? Because Lucas certainly comes off as kind of a whiny little...
I want to punch him in the face. He's a tremendous player, but I want to punch him in the face. I also think he's a sieve defensively. Anthony Edwards is not.
I thought he was okay yesterday.
I mean, yes.
One game.
Dude, it's one game, but there were a couple of possessions I was like, what does he do defensively? And he's just like floating around, not rotating to a guy, drifting down into the paint. And then he would grab a rebound on a missed shot and run the fast break. SGA is great. He's more of a foul seeker, though. Anthony Edwards is so unique because he didn't really start playing basketball until later in his life. He was a football guy, kind of came out of nowhere as number one overall pick. I remember that being somewhat of a controversial number one pick, too. Like, this guy really only popped for a year or two. Like, are we really doing this?
And Georgia didn't go to the tourney.
Georgia didn't go on this long run. Yeah. He has gotten exponential. He's been in the league for 4 years. He's only 22 years old, and he has gotten exponentially better every year that he's been in the league.
If I post the same question on Twitter, who wins it, though?
Probably Wemby.
Probably Wemby, right?
Probably.
And who do you think gets second? Because I think it's Luka. People love Luka.
Yeah.
He's child prodigy from Europe, won the EuroLeague, played in it since he was like 16. And I'm both bothered by Luka, but I also can acknowledge what Gundy said yesterday on Twitter. When he kind of turns into a whiny little bee is actually when he plays better.
Yeah, he got that tech on the and one, or thought he should have had an and one. And he just
well, he wasn't wrong. He
way.
Did get fouled on that play.
He did get fouled. He did get fouled.
SGA, no love.
No love for SGA.
Yeah.
No love at all.
Seems like it's going to be very hard for a team like Oklahoma City. And I know they got to a finals with KD, Harden, and Westbrook years ago, but
they did.
It's such a tough market to keep your talent in.
Yeah, you know, the small market mindset. How do we keep our guys around? Maybe Durant is the answer this offseason for them. I don't know.
Yeah.
But good luck with that. I would look at it right now and say, and this is way overreactionary, watching Dallas for two games, watching OKC for a game, and watching Minnesota for two games.
Minnesota looks like the best team.
It's not even close of who you think would push Denver. Now, I'm not saying you think they're going to beat them, but Dallas has shown me nothing to say, yes, I think that team can take down Jokic in the playoffs. Nothing so far.
Unfortunately, I would love to see a Minnesota-Dallas series.
I would, too.
McDaniels on Luka. And Edwards occasionally on Luka.
It'd be great.
Back and forth. And by the way, Minnesota... not a hotbed for hoops in terms of the fan base caring all that much because their owners sucked for so long. Damn, it's just so... isn't it amazing when a team is really good and likable how much energy that provides to an arena? I don't know. I didn't check any of the post-game quotes from the players. They had to have given those fans a ton of credit because they didn't even play their best game.
No.
And their best player couldn't hit a shot.
Nope.
And it felt like the energy of that crowd was like helping lift a Conley three or helping push and kind of motivate a McDaniels. an awesome just sight to see yesterday when they went 2-0 against Phoenix.
I know we're against it. Last two thoughts for me on this. I'm sure we'll do a little more NBA next because I got to get to my Quake take. But two teams that we're talking about right now who made really risky trades that were made fun of at the time that they made them. Minnesota to go get Gobert. That was a universal reaction of what the hell are you doing? You gave up that for Rudy Gobert. That was the reaction.
And five first round picks.
It was insane. And you already have a setter. Why would you do that? And here they are looking pretty damn good. And then Dallas, who did it with Kyrie Irving. Why would you risk it with a guy who was unreliable, can't count on him? He's flaming out everywhere he goes. And we'll see what happens. Maybe Dallas loses in the first round. We get this. We'll have to wait and see on that take. But two teams that took a chance, they took a risk. It's funny how sometimes that works out. I wish Portland would try it sometime.
Dirt's got hoop Quake takes, and we got some audio to get to from the association. We have more college football to get to, a scout's thoughts on Caleb. All that is ahead. Dirt and Sprague on the Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Caleb Williams reminds this scout of a musical performer. And it's not a compliment. We'll get to that coming up at the bottom of the hour. Dirt, you said some Quake takes. I got audio from last night's association stuff. You said you have some Quake takes, basketball
quake take.
Related.
I have an NBA Quake take.
So you only have one?
Only one
okay.
Quake take
I thought
today.
You teased multiple takes.
No, I mean, the take might turn into multiple
might
takes.
Might be aftershocks from...
Because there's a ripple effect.
It's a
here.
Massive Quake take. Could be a 5.0.
I think Devin Booker is one of the more overrated players in the NBA.
God, that's a bad take.
Dude was nothing until they got Chris Paul. They go to the finals. He was put on this pedestal of one of the best players in the league. They haven't been back since. He's been teamed up with elite players the last 4 years. He's a high-volume scorer that does nothing else to impact the game. He's not a leader, and his team's about to get swept out of the first round of the playoffs. Dude is overrated, and I'm tired of him going for 70 in the regular season and pretending like Devin Booker's one of these all-time great scorers. Get the hell out of here. He's almost 30 years old.
Would you want him in Portland?
No, I don't want him.
Oh, God.
I don't want him. I mean, of course I would now. Our team sucks. He's better than anybody on our roster. That doesn't say much. Is he better than the Charlotte Hornets? Is that the barrier you're trying to break here?
Swag, what is the Richter scale say of that Quake take? Devin Booker, what did you say?
He's one of the more overrated players in the NBA.
Okay. Is this a 6? Is this a 7?
No. Buildings aren't coming down.
Wow.
You agree with me a little bit here.
We're in the 4.5 to 5
If we're 4.5,
range,
that's not a big take. Swigard's agreeing.
You feel it. It's more than a minor tremor aftershock.
It's
but,
a New York earthquake.
Yeah.
A bottle of wine broke.
Stuff's coming off, fell over.
Yeah, some things are falling off the shelf, but glass windows aren't being broken. Buildings aren't crumbling.
Okay.
We hold everybody to the standard of, like, what have you won? This guy has been teamed up.
He's
with
been to a finals.
He has. When he got teamed up with elite players, they lost in the finals. Then he got teamed up with Kevin Durant, and they're going to get swept in the first round of the playoffs.
So you view the situation of him, whereas, like, I view it of, like, kind of Kevin Durant.
Why is it not on Devin Booker? Why do we not blame Devin Booker? If we're going to make fun of Kevin Durant for getting swept in the first round, why do we not do that to Devin Booker? What did he do last night?
Well, he has
down 1-0 in the series, big game. He was no show.
He's largely not done anything in the series in two games. But at the start of his career, he has to be on just an awful organization. The owner's leaving goat crap in the general manager's office because he hates him.
I think that's called motivation, Bob.
Well, neither one of those people are there anymore, including the owner who put the goat crap in the office. The other one's an Odyssey NBA insider.
So, friend of the program, by the way.
But you have to take into account like where you get picked, right? What organization? We talk about NFL quarterbacks. Why do guys succeed and not succeed? Some guys just never going to be good. Other guys succeed because they go to perfect situations.
Mm-hmm.
He had to go to that.
He did.
He had to go to Phoenix.
I don't blame him.
At the bottom of the gutter.
I don't blame him for the first 4 years. First 4 years are off limits.
Okay.
I don't blame him for that.
And then they finally get him some talent. They get DeAndre Ayton. They go and get Chris Paul.
Mm-hmm.
They go to a finals. Going to a finals, we cannot just highlight... Well, he couldn't win the finals, or he lost the championship. It has to matter that you can get to a finals. It's so hard to get to a finals.
I'm not saying it doesn't matter. I'm saying how close is he to getting to another one? Because they're not going to one anytime soon.
He's within the top six of the Western Conference. Yeah, I mean, this series, to me, I think it's over. But it's not over yet.
Can we
at least let him try to defend home court first?
No, I'm not letting him get
what
there.
What if they win two and they tie the series?
I'm not letting him get there.
And they look good doing it. What is the Quake take then?
I don't trust Phoenix as far as I could throw him.
I don't
He's
either.
Shooting 25% from three. He's been non-existent through two games. And Anthony Edwards and the Minnesota Timberwolves have punked them the first two games of the series.
Well, he talked about the frustration within his team in the postgame last night.
Yeah, my frustration is just, you know, within the team. You know, we need to execute. You know, we play well when we're playing well, and then, you know, we need to stick together once things turn bad. And like I said, we've done that throughout the season, so, you know, something that has to be corrected.
I will acknowledge, while I don't agree fully with the Quake take, I like the boldness of the take.
I just find it hilarious that
I've been disappointed in him for sure. I've seen that dude, even in losses, like, last year. I've seen him play him and like, it's not him.
No.
That's certainly not something I'm worried about. It's how do I fill in all the other stuff? Now, the problem is they traded all these picks for KD, so they have no future picks. I believe, if I heard correctly, they're in the second apron. So, like, financially...
Oh, they definitely are. With the Beal contract added to it, of course they are.
They're absolutely screwed financially. The only thing they can do on this roster to change anything is trade.
Yeah.
That is all of their options. And, oh, by the way, stealth thing that flew under the radar that nobody talked about, they're kind of being shadow run by Isaiah Thomas, the guy who got hit with sexual harassment at the Knicks because he's on the board of Ishbia's company helping advise them because, you know... Isaiah Thomas knows so much about mortgage lending, and it's like, that's not good.
I want to know Isaiah Thomas takes on interest rates. I think my take
They're
is
too high.
My take is largely coming from, I hate how we treat different players differently. And just by that, I mean, I don't know if Phoenix is going to get swept. Tongue in cheek, I do think Minnesota's going to win the series. Will it be in 4, 5, 6, or 7? I don't know. I think Minnesota's going to win the series. They're the better team. They're the more complete team. What's the reaction to Kevin Durant if they lose in five in the first round of the playoffs? What's the national narrative around Kevin Durant? What is everybody saying about Kevin Durant?
Well, this is the problem. Kevin Durant is of people, when he was with Golden State, wanted to put him at the same stature as LeBron.
And that was dumb.
And then he left it. He went to Brooklyn.
Right.
And they got swept, I believe, in the first round of one of his seasons there.
Yeah.
And I feel like I heard...
He came a millimeter away from beating the Bucks the year they won, but that was
close. We love to highlight his close loss, but we don't want to talk about how he got swept out in the prime of his career. Now, you can say, well, post-injury, he was still averaging like 30 points a game.
Yeah.
He was still top end, and we did not say anything about that. But LeBron is going to lose in round one, maybe by the sweep of Jokic, and it's going to be the top ESPN story for 2 days.
Look, I agree with everything that you're saying there. Kevin Durant does need to be held to a higher standard. I'm just arguing so does Devin Booker. Like, if we're going to sit here and act like this guy's one of the best players in the league, which I think is probably a wide-held opinion.
Pretty widely
held, 70-point games. He's averaged nearly 30 a game for a couple of years in a row. To your point, he's been to an NBA Finals. It's hilarious to me that if they lose in the first round and they get swept in embarrassing fashion, which I think there's a chance could happen, Kevin Durant is going to be mocked endlessly for that. Endlessly.
Like, I don't think he will.
Well, he should. He will be on this show.
It'll be about, is Kevin Durant going to ask for a trade now to go to a different team?
And we're all going to make fun of him for that because he's going to go jump to Minnesota. Those tweets were already out there last night. My next journey. And it was him standing in front of a Timberwolves logo or the white shirt with the Timberwolves logo on it. We're talking about him going to OKC. Like, we're going to make fun of him for that. Devin Booker is supposed to be one of the best players in the playoffs, and he's just going to skate. We're just going to forget about him and not mention the fact that he also got swept in the first round of the playoffs. He's a volume scorer that does nothing else to impact the game.
The problem with the take is everybody can see the situation, and while there certainly is expectation, they were a trendy pick to win round one by a lot, and I'm like, I kind of – it's because they beat Minnesota three times in the regular season, so we took that instead of saying, hey, how did the year go for both of the teams?
How do they actually match up? Who was playing in those games when they played?
Yeah, Minnesota's pretty good this year. Yep. I don't know if you followed it, but I know most people didn't because it's the regular season NBA. The thing with Devin is you can look at that roster, and it's not meant as an out for him. I've, again, been disappointed by his performance. I also think Minnesota's done a lot to throw multiple bodies at him because, well, who else beats him?
Bradley Beal ain't doing it right
now. Grayson Allen's injured now. Yeah. It ain't Bradley Beal. Yusuf Nurkic certainly is not doing anything offensively. Who is it? This is the only reason I could not mentally grasp the why you take Phoenix over Minnesota stuff.
Yeah.
Who on Phoenix, if Booker's getting two at him, who's beating you?
I mean, it should be Kevin Durant.
Okay, but it's not. So who is it?
They got nobody else.
Okay, so it seems like it's not, to me, a Booker problem. It feels like it's a roster construction problem, and they gave up all of the assets because they wanted multiple Blazers from garbage-ass seasons, and they wanted Bradley Beal. Seems like pretty flawed roster construction to me.
They got the Shaq at Troutdale. That should be enough, first off. A lot of this does come from the little brother syndrome of Portland and the way Damian Lillard was talked about. And this pushed idea that Devin Booker was somehow better than him or deserved more recognition than him because he got to a finals, when the reality was he was just on a better team. They put a better group around him than Lillard ever had, and that helped benefit. Booker was great, and he's been good at times. He was really good last year in the playoffs too, but he's always had more talent around him, and that's been my larger frustration.
An NFL scout uses a legendary musician. Legendary. Beloved to trash Caleb Williams. Very interesting reporting coming on this. We'll get to that coming up next. We got some college football news and notes to get to. We got Statter Story at 8:15. Dirt and Sprague back with more.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Who? We'll get to that coming. A little college football coming up in a few moments. Transfer portal notes. Some audio that one fan base won't like. It's music to my ears, though. Let's get to this, though. The NFL draft is tomorrow, and we all know who the number one pick in the draft is going to be. We all know it. It's Caleb Williams. No shocker. He's showing up. He's going to get his name called. The Bears will probably make us wait 10 minutes, but he's going to be the number one pick in the draft.
I would... you got a few players that fall into this category. I would argue we've known about this for over a year.
Yes. Yeah, Yeah.
I mean, not even a debate. Like, hey, no. Maybe it's this guy. Maybe it's this position. No, it's that guy.
Caleb Williams has been the guy, and he has been the guy for a long time, to your point. I still have mixed emotions on him. I don't view him the same way I have viewed, or I guess I should say that some people view him as this can't-miss prospect, put him in the Andrew Luck category. Some people put him there. I'm just not quite there. I'm curious to see how it works out in the NFL. Dave Fleming, what podcast is this from?
Pablo Torre finds out.
The Pablo Torre podcast. He got a quote from a scout on Caleb Williams, and he relayed the message, and we quite enjoyed this. Here is what an NFL scout told Dave Fleming about Caleb Williams.
And I reached out to a guy who's really well-connected, a former scout, really well-connected across the NFL with GMs and front offices, and I was blown away by his reaction.
What did the scout tell you that you can report?
I hated it. Hated it. He would scare the shit out of me if I was working for a team. Raw emotion is great, but Caleb's thing, that was ridiculous to me. That threw up major red flags. You just lost a game in the middle of your fucking season, and it was like your third loss in the Pac-12, and you went hugging on mommy and crying in mommy's arms, and it just seems really freaking weak and nuts. And I will tell you, he scares the shit out of a lot of NFL teams, too. The book on him is he's just kind of a weird kid. One GM told me it's like if Prince played quarterback.
So being Prince is not a good thing.
Two-part follow-up. One, how do you feel if Prince is your franchise quarterback? And two, crying with mommy after a college game. Red flag? Red flag or not?
I think every franchise just wants 1 year of Purple Rain. I think that's all you're looking for.
I mean, are we playing Charlie Murphy and hoops
blouses.
Here?
Or
are we,
yeah. What's going on?
How do we feel about that?
I'm going to beat you and then get pancakes. What a wild thing to tell somebody. And look, my favorite part of draft time, aside from how many bad takes we all have and opinions on players we know nothing about, is all of the anonymous quotes to just say the most outlandish things because they know it's an anonymous quote.
Mommy, mommy.
Well, I mean, look, that thing happened. I forget, who did they lose to in that game? Was that the...
Oh, God.
I forgot what game that
was. Might have been the Washington game that he cried after.
I couldn't remember, but...
I mean, they lost a handful of games this year.
We talked about that in the moment and how that looked. And, yeah, I'm not shocked to hear that didn't resonate with scouts or former scouts or general managers. The thing about this is, though, that...
Yeah, it was the Husky game. He ran into the crowd and cried in her arms.
You get to the... And the funny thing about that was I think he made fun of Max Dugan. Remember, for crying at the press conference and basically was like, you can't be doing this. And then the very next season, he's crying in his mom's arms.
And Max Dugan took a shot at him when he did that.
You know, you're finding and nitpicking every possible thing that you can with these guys. It's what the draft makes you do is you find a moment of weakness or a moment of questionable decision-making. And sometimes you extrapolate that into an entire thought and opinion on a player. And it's why when we look at percentages of positions, some of these guys don't hit. That person could certainly be right. There could be some major red flags here. I don't care if he goes into Sunday with his nails painted or his phone case is bright purple or pink. Man, can you make the pass that splits to the two defenders for the touchdown? I've seen him do it.
Yes, he has.
And he certainly has moments where I think he kind of gets himself in trouble. As one person noted in one of the mocks I read yesterday, they think he loves to improvise so much that sometimes he kind of creates chaos when he doesn't always need to. And I actually agree with that.
That's my take on him. That's my big fear.
So does number 15 in Kansas City.
I know.
I'm not saying he's going to be. We
so
got to
Michael Jordan. Like,
okay, but like saying that doesn't mean I'm saying he's going to be Mahomes. But prior to winning the Super Bowl this year, it was one of the only things you could knock Kansas City on is that dude didn't hang in the pocket very long. Mm-hmm. He held on to the football for too long a time, and at a certain point in the regular season, it cost him turnovers. So I think just uttering a name that's amazing. We got to stop reacting to the instant, you uttered a name. That doesn't mean I'm comping him to Patrick Mahomes. I think he's got some similarities. I don't think it'll mean he's going to be Mahomes. But there is some of that. Just some guys thrive. And I don't know what his high school career was like. I got to imagine he was successful.
Yeah, I mean, he was like number one high school coming out of high one quarterback coming out of high
he's
school.
He's been playing this way since high school. He played that way at Oklahoma. He played that way at USC. It's just kind of in his nature. It's the way he plays the game. I like him, but this is the time of year we find every little thing to knock him down a peg to say, nope, can't be the guy. Okay, good luck, though. I mean, maybe he is the guy, and then what do you say to it?
I mean, I laughed out loud when you played that yesterday. We were going to get to it on the show, and we kind of ran out of time, carried it over for today, because I think it's kind of a spot-on analysis of just – I'm not scared S-less like that GM or scout said – but he is a weird dude. Like, he's just a little off, and that doesn't mean it's a bad thing. Doesn't mean he can't be good in the NFL. The scene of a quarterback crying in his mom's arms.
With his helmet still on.
With his helmet still on, like, jumping into the, like, purposefully finding her,
yeah.
Jumping into the stands and crying in her arms. When they had, I think that was their fourth loss of the season.
No, it was his third. That's what
third,
you
okay, yeah,
he
third
did that after the third Pac-12
like,
loss.
Your season's over. You're not winning a Pac-12 title. Like, it's one thing to cry after losing a national championship and you're on the bench, undefeated season, like Penix crying after losing to Michigan. I don't know if he did or not. But it's like, that's relatable. We've all been in that moment. Big game. It's come to an end. Like, you still have four more regular season games and you're not winning anything of significance and you're just bawling in your mom's eyes. It was kind of a weird look at the time. But I look, he's going to be the number one overall pick. What do we think the conversation is about him in a year? Like, project forward. What are we saying? What's the narrative around Caleb Williams? Because you had two rookies last year taken. One of them you could not feel better about in C.J. Stroud. One of them you could not feel worse about than Bryce Young. Now, he's not going to a situation that is as bad as Carolina. Carolina was a terrible spot.
Yeah.
So that's part of the reason Bryce Young was terrible, to be fair to him. Are we somewhere in the middle, or are we talking about him the way we're talking about C.J. Stroud?
Well, Stroud's season, because it was, you know, record-breaking and they got the divisional round, I think, unfortunately for Caleb, there's going to be a lot of noise of that's the comp because of how much we've been talking about this dude and for how long we've been talking about him.
He was great right out of the gate. That doesn't usually happen.
If you made it a meter where Bryce Young is on one end of the I don't want to see that and C.J. Stroud is at the other end
perfect
of like this is
scenario.
As good as it could be.
Yeah.
I think he tilts more Stroud, but hitting Stroud, I just think that's an unrealistic thing. Everything worked perfectly in Stroud. He wasn't taken number one, and even at number two, people were like, really?
Yeah.
And I just think it's it's too much of an expectation to go that high of a rookie quarterback. I slightly disagree with you. I think Chicago can be a 7-seed wildcard team who doesn't win a playoff game next year. If they take a receiver, too, if they get Odunze, for example, they're going to have three receivers, a tight end. You'd imagine they're going to, you know, offensive line was shaky.
Can they run the ball? Justin Fields was their leading rusher last year.
He was, but their coach is defensive heavy. They made the trade for the lineman. I think it was Sweat that they got on defense, at the defensive line to bolster that. I think they feel encouraged about defense because that's the identity of that coach. If he can just go in there and be who he was at USC, and we certainly know that's not how it always goes, why can't they be in the conversation for a playoff spot, a wild card spot, a 7-seed? I think they can be. I'd tilt more towards Stroud than I would Young. Young went to the worst situation.
Yeah.
I also didn't like him at all. I don't think Houston is what Houston is last year with Bryce Young.
No, I don't. I think we would feel better about Bryce Young, but they're not as good. He is clearly not the prospect that C.J. Stroud was. And size and strength and all that stuff plays into it. Bryce Young is an undersized guy.
Which is crazy because if you go back and check college resume, Young got all the flowers because he played at Bama.
Yeah.
Yeah, what did he, I mean, to Bama standards, what did he accomplish? And then also, like, Stroud was carving up Georgia.
He was.
We're killing Penix.
He also couldn't beat Michigan, though.
Okay.
That was
Stroud's fault. Yeah.
He couldn't beat Michigan.
Yeah, it wasn't. Okay.
That's what we do with quarterbacks, though, is it not? I mean, that's the way we play the game. If you win the game, we give you credit. And if you lose, we blame you. That's the way it works.
But Penix had a bad game against Michigan. We're killing him for it. But it's like Stroud carved up Georgia. Who cares? They lost. He's like, okay, all right. He's 6'3". He's got a good arm.
I'm fascinated to see how his style of play fits in the NFL because I see you're not comparing him to Mahomes. I understand why that analogy is made. I'm just curious, like, how does that work? He's an undersized guy. He's going to run around a ton. Is he as athletic? Does he look as athletic in the the NFL.
He says
as he does
he's
in college.
As tall as Aaron Rodgers, by
and
the way.
We'll see. Yeah.
Do you have any size concerns of Aaron Rodgers? I've never heard anybody talk about that.
No, I also don't view him that tall, but I've never stood next to Aaron Rodgers. I've stood next to Caleb Williams, but not Aaron Rodgers. And he's a prince, according to one NFL scout. So there you go. I love that take about him crying in his mom's arms.
Back-to-back quake takes in sports.
Quake takes, dude. I love it. Hey, let's get to some more portal news. Do you believe now? Also, a rough day for Jonathan Smith. And one fan base not happy. That's next on The Fan.
It's crunch time.
Let's go!
Where Dirt and Sprague crunch the hot topics you want to hear.
What's the pressure?
Don't sit here and act like there's no... We get nervous teeing off in front of a gallery on the 10th hole at Eastmoreland.
Crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. With memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your Crunch Time in Portland, Vancouver, or online at crunch.com. Wanted to read a thought here at the Vancouver Ford text line. You can interact with us there the entire show, 503-864-6326. We're also live on YouTube every single morning. And we were up today. Everybody's arguing. Jake the Hater says that Prince can only play for the Ravens, which I think is a pretty valid take.
Yeah.
You gotta be purple. And this one came in reading, and I quote, Caleb Williams is the first real Gen Z to be a franchise leader. The nails painted and okay being emotional is how they grow up or grew up. It's going to take Gen X, Millennial, and Boomer GMs and coaches some time to get used to it.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think
this is a Gen Z problem.
Well, it's a good point, though. He's kind of the first
Drake
representation.
Drake May is younger than Caleb Williams.
Yeah, but like in terms of
modern
spotlight,
stereotypes,
culture, yeah. Up to date on pop culture stuff, like. Caleb more represents that stuff than Drake May from North Carolina does.
Drake May
strikes me as I can't wait to be at an alcohol riser someday. And that's fine if that's who you are, but I think that's a good point of like it's a different generation. I, as a millennial, will say, don't care. I think he's really good at football. Paint your nails whatever color you want.
Just
hopefully
win.
The team colors would be great.
Yeah, just win.
But yeah, he wears Elton John glasses with bell-bottom pants and, like, has a Louis Vuitton Merce.
He does.
And a pink phone case.
Yes, he does.
So what?
Yes, he does.
Is he good at playing football?
Here's the sad part.
You know, if he's not good, this is why he's not going to be good for people, right?
100%.
Everybody's going to point to those things. This was our first sign it wasn't going to work. And it's going to be him at a USC women's game.
You can't bet your nails!
With a pink phone case.
This is 100% the ammunition that will be used. I would say, like, I don't disagree with the overall take of the generational thing. I do think there are divides, and I even feel it. I'm 35 years old, and even I feel it with some of the pink phone case, nail stuff, outfits that guys wear. I can't relate to that. So I have a hard time, and I understand where the GMs and coaches might be struggling with it. The only thing that I would say, though, is that we do the dumbest stuff around the NFL draft. And this is another one of those kind of takes of like, you know, at the end of the day, who really does care that he's crying in his mom's arms? That has nothing to do with him being an NFL quarterback, successful or not. We did this like Justin Herbert coming out. The red flags were there were no red flags. That was a thing for a while. There's no red flags. Should that concern us? I don't know.
I always thought that was the Mariota thing. I always thought
Mariota was like, he's too nice. Mariota
didn't read the field. He's not a loud leader.
Sure. Mariota's too nice. Should that be concerning to us? Can you be an NFL franchise quarterback if you're nice to your teammates? Huh? Can you do that? It's like we find dumb things to nitpick. So some of it is generational right now, but like we're doing this to every quarterback in the draft process.
So does that make Joe Burrow of all the ones the last like handful of years the best one? Because I want my guys smoking stogies.
That's right, winning natties.
I want my wide receivers, Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson. I want them to love this guy. He's got to have the coiffed perfect hair. I want him to have the swagger. I want him wearing outfits that make me go, oh, I don't know if you could pull that off. And he looks at me and says, I can pull it off. Is that what we're after?
This is what we're doing. This is what we're doing.
The one thing that these guys have to evaluate is the mental makeup of the athlete.
Yes. How are you going to handle failure and shortcomings? Because there will be a lot of them in the National Football League.
So while it might not be a big deal to a lot of people out there that Caleb's crying in his mom's arms, I think the general thought of that general manager or scout, whatever, is kind of spot on with a lot of others in that league of like, what happens when you lose in week 3? How many weeks are you going to cry in mom's arms?
What if he does? What if he loses his first NFL game and he runs to the stands and cries with his mom?
Then why? I will have to believe he was raised on gentle parenting. That will be my
point
takeaway.
At what point can we make fun of the crying? Like, if that becomes a yearly thing, can we make fun of it?
If he becomes a weekly thing, yes.
Like, after they lose to the Cardinals in week one, he's screaming in row one.
But you asked me, where are we at a year from now? What if they win? What did they win this year? 7 games?
I believe they were 7-9 this year.
Seven and ten.
My apologies. Yeah.
Let's say they win 7 games.
Seven and ten again.
But it looks different. He looks good. They lost a game or two because he threw a pick or something, which is a rookie quarterback thing. But they're 7-10 again. But it's not. You're not looking at him going, "Oh, I'm worried." It's other areas.
Sure.
What are we saying a year from now? What do you think we're saying a year from now?
I think if the picture that you paint out is the way that it goes, I think you're feeling great. You and I just disagree a little bit on Caleb, but also a little bit on the Bears. Like, I look at their late season resurgence as they beat a lot of really bad teams in the mix. Like, Carolina was one of their wins. Minnesota without Kirk Cousins was one of their wins. Atlanta was one of the worst teams in the NFL.
But you don't view them as a good team currently, so the point I would make is, those wins is they're handling the worst teams than them.
They're starting to win games that they should
win.
They're
doing the thing that they should do. Now, they did that with Fields. We'll see if they do it with Caleb.
I think a lot of it, if you go 7-10, a lot of it depends on how does Caleb look in the process. Is he the reason you're losing games? Is he the reason you're winning games? Is he just along for the ride and a little bit somewhere in the middle? I think if you go 7-10 and he has okay numbers, you're not panicking in any way, shape, or form. I think C.J. Stroud is the outlier, and rookie quarterbacks rarely ever come in and look that way right out of the gate. Even use Joe Burrow as an example, who went to Cincinnati. This year two, he's in the NFL, he's in the Super Bowl. Go look at Joe Burrow in year one before he got hurt. There were a couple of moments and a couple of flashes, but it was a lot of ugly games and a lot of picks. It doesn't look good usually for guys right out of the gate. So don't use C.J. Stroud as the example, because that is an outlier, and also part of it is the schedule that Houston played. And I'm really curious to see what the conversation is about C.J. Stroud and Houston a year from now.
Well, they're also in a really bad division.
They're a terrible division, and they're going to get a first-place schedule now for winning that division. And so how does that look a year from now? I'm just curious. So I think we're somewhere in the middle between Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud, which I think if you're Chicago, you feel perfectly fine about if that's where you're at a year from now and you don't make the playoffs, but you're somewhere in the mix.
Well, I think Chicago themselves actually wants him to be C.J. Stroud.
Yeah.
They've never had a franchise quarterback.
They have never had a franchise quarterback. Those are big expectations to live up to in year one in the NFL. I didn't get to my college football notes. We'll start the final hour with that. Some fun with audio. Statter story coming up at 8:15. Get you set for the night in sports. Loaded final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.